Our psalm reading this morning is Psalm 15. Hear the word of the Lord. Lord, who may dwell in your sanctuary? Who may live on your holy hill? He whose walk is blameless and who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from his heart and has no slander on his tongue, who does his neighbor no wrong and casts no slur on his fellow man, who despises a vile man, but honors those who fear the Lord, who keeps his oath even when it hurts, who lends his money without usury, and does not accept a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things will never be shaken. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for gathering us together this morning in your name. We pray now that as we hear your word proclaimed, that you will enlighten our hearts and our minds. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our scripture passage this morning comes from the Old Testament, from the book of Exodus, chapter 33, verses 12 through 23. Moses said to the Lord, "You have been telling me, 'Lead these people,' but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, 'I know you by name,' and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people." The Lord replied, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Then Moses said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth?" And the Lord said to Moses, "I will do the very thing you have asked, because I am pleased with you, and I know you by name." Then Moses said, "Now show me your glory." And the Lord said, "I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I shall have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." But he said, "You cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live." Then the Lord said, "There is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen." This is the word of the Lord. Well, we are a lot like Moses, you and me. And you may wonder, how can I say that? After all, Moses was this man who encountered God personally in the burning bush. He was this great man of God who led God's people out of slavery and out of Egypt. He was the man that God entrusted to receive the Ten Commandments and bring them safely down from the mountain. He was a man who made a covenant with God to lead the people of Israel to the promised land. So how can I possibly say we are a lot like Moses? I say that because, just like you and me, Moses was reluctant to accept God's challenge to lead. He didn't think he was capable. He didn't think he had the characteristics necessary to be God's appointee. But God knew better. God knew that through guidance and personal obedience, Moses could be the leader that he was destined to become. He could be one who was able to hear and discern God's voice. He could become one who trusted God and who God trusted in turn. But when Moses felt the most vulnerable, the most unsure of himself, he said, "Now show me your glory." He wanted to see God's glory. Charles Spurgeon calls this the greatest request a man has ever made of God. And I think he's probably right. How could Moses have asked for anything larger? To see God's glory is to see God himself. It was as if Moses is saying, "Let me see you as you really are." You know, usually when we pray that we want some special favor from the Lord. Lord, help me find a job, or heal my child, or reveal your will to me. Sometimes we pray that God will increase our faith, or that God will save us from a day of trouble. Those prayers are noble, and in themselves, they become the common prayer that we hear. But if we ask to see God's glory, we are standing entirely alone. It is a category unto itself. No other request can be compared to this request. God's glory is the sum total of who he is. It is God's power plus his wisdom plus his justice plus his mercy plus his holiness plus his love plus every other attribute of his character. God's glory is the shining forth of who God is in his entirety, in his essence. And we can only understand this request if we consider the context in which Moses was asking it. Moses had just spent 40 days on Mount Sinai communing with the Lord. And during those days on the mountain, God revealed to Moses his law and wrote the Ten Commandments on the tablets of stone. While Moses was with the Lord, the children of Israel grew restless. So Aaron allowed them to gather gold earrings from the people, and they had constructed a golden calf. They danced and shouted and proclaimed, "These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you out of Egypt." And the people offered sacrifices to the golden calf, and they began to engage in wild revelry. And the Lord knew all about it and told Moses that he was going to destroy Israel and start over with a new nation that would worship him and not turn to idols. But Moses interceded on behalf of the people of Israel. He pointed out to God that this nation that would worship him would not turn back to idols, but the Lord referred to these people as stiff-necked, rebellious people. That's tough words from God. Stiff-necked. In our vernacular, it would be very, very stubborn. And do we know any stiff-necked people in our lives? But now, God instructs the Israelites to go to the promised land, to go to a land flowing with milk and honey. But I will always go with you, not because you are a stiff-necked people and I might destroy you on the way. So now Moses is instructed to lead this group of stubborn people to the promised land. But he's terrified by the thought of leading them without the presence of the Lord. He beseeches the Lord, "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people, unless you go with us?" And the Lord's response is incredible. It is the response of the forgiving and loving and compassionate God that we are eager to know and to worship. The Lord said, "I will do the very thing you have asked, because I am pleased with you and I know you by name." Yes, God was angry at the people who had created and worshiped an idol, but he relented because of Moses, the one who was in the Lord's favor and who God knew by name. Moses went a step further, however. Not only did he want God's presence to be with him and the people of Israel, but he asked to see God's glory. That would be the intimate radiance and majesty of God, sort of like coming face to face with God. And the Holy One said, "All my goodness will pass by you, and I will even proclaim the name Yahweh, the Lord, but you shall not see my face." God tells Moses that the people will see his back after all the Lord's goodness has passed by. Now understand what this is saying. Even in experiencing God's presence and all of the goodness of the Lord, Moses wanted more. He wanted to see the glory of God. He wanted to see God's face. And so when in our lives, we might ask, when in our lives have we wanted to see God's face? When have we needed that ultimate assurance of the Lord's presence to get us through some kind of difficult time? Was it when we lost a loved one, when we lost a job, when we got bad news from a doctor? Was it sometime when we had made a terrible mistake and we needed to find a way out? Oh, show me your face, dear Lord. Give me the ultimate proof that you are real. But rather than showing me his face, the Lord showed me his presence. You know, this is one of those times when I oftentimes pause and realize that there were many times in my life, even before I received the call to ministry, that I really wanted to know that God was real. I wanted that assurance that I could trust God's presence in my life. But it's not until we actually take that major step of faith forward that God has the opportunity to show us his presence. I do remember well when I was feeling God's call to ministry after a long career, and I had to make a decision as to whether or not I was willing to disrupt all of my comfortable surroundings and my security for the future in order to accept God's call. And it was at that moment in my life that I wanted to see God's face. I wanted to witness his glory. I wanted to know for sure that God was with me. But again, rather than showing me his face, he showed me his presence by opening doors and giving me comfort and making me feel secure. Even in experiencing God's presence and all of the goodness of the Lord, you know, Moses was one of those who wanted to see God's face. He needed to know that God was there. And so it is for all of us. God leads us. Those who experience God's presence and glory know that the Lord is leading, and our faith grows. And so it was when God assured Moses that his glory would pass by. But rather than seeing his face, Moses would see God's back. And I realized as I was reading that passage that that's really as it should be. Because we realize, you and me, that by seeing God's back, it means that we are following. We cannot see the Lord's face unless, if we are following. We cannot see God's face if we are following. And that is our proper place when acknowledging a sovereign, majestic, and righteous God who gives us every reason to believe and every assurance to trust. We must see God's back, because that ensures that we indeed are following him. To the glory of God. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for all of the many, many blessings that we have. And we do thank you for your presence and the glory that we see shining around us in your creation. We thank you for the glory that we see in the beautiful hillsides here in Virginia. We thank you for the glory that we see in our friendships, in our relationships with others. We thank you for the glory that we see as you take care of our every need and comfort our every sorrow. Lord, we pray this day for all of those who are in need of your presence in their lives. We pray for those who are sick, those who are facing war, for those who are in need of your healing, for those who are lonely, and Lord, for those who have never heard of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that your glory will shine around them. Lord, this morning we do pray for continued healing for dear Sophia. And Lord, as we pray with Joseph as he goes to the hospital later this week to have a cardiac procedure, we do pray that you will be with him and the doctors and all of the technicians, that you will give the doctors wisdom with this skill. And Lord, we pray that you will give Joseph and his family the presence of mind to know that indeed you are with them. And Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your presence. And Lord, this morning we do pray also for Daniel Harrison, who has been deployed to Afghanistan. We pray that you will keep him safe and return him safely home to his family. And Lord, we also offer thanks for the ability to celebrate the marriage of Katie and Daniel. And we will be praying more for them in just a moment. But Lord, we just pray that you will be with all of us as we go forth from here today. Give us the ability to show your love to those that we encounter. And we pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and Savior, the one who taught us to pray by saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." And let us now respond to God's word by returning our gifts to him.